listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 27th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, good evening, Michael. You know, I'm glad to be here as always.
As always, so glad to have you joining us. And thanks to everybody joining us in the live chat. We always appreciate catching up with you and, you know, finding out how your week's been, and we appreciate your contributions. And also a big thanks to those that catch up with us in the archives also. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, tonight I think we're going to have a bit of an open discussion. I think you had a good title for it, a what-if discussion, too. A few ideas off the top.
Well, how would humanity respond, react, if aliens actually showed themselves on Earth to the masses? That's a what-if. What if aliens were suddenly seen all over the world? What would happen?
You know, it's such an interesting question that we, you know, humanity is kind of tossed back and forth for a very long time. I think that were I in the Illuminati cabal of, you know, government pulling strings and things back in the day, I probably would have hidden alien life, knowing how detrimental it would have been for society. But now, I don't know that I would. I think we've evolved as a society. I think fiction has prepared us to really think in a meaningful way about the concept of intelligent life other than us, and I think we're a bit more socially advanced, believe it or not.
We are.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Look, if an alien ship just landed in the middle of town and suddenly all the people, I'd be a little shocked for a moment, but I'd want to go see them and talk to them myself. But I think we're not in the masses. I think there's a whole number of people, a great amount of the population, that would do a, like, freak out and think that we're under attack. And I think that's kind of where the government wants to go. Wendy just said to it, too, they want to shoot first and ask questions later. But, it, you know, which is dumb, because aliens would have the technology to do a lot more damage
to us
than we could to them. So, but I think about that. I do think that there's certain amounts of disclosure happening, but maybe it's happening in a small way rather than one big massive way.
Are you along with the idea that, you know, creatives are being encouraged to, you know, do the alien movies, the sci-fi flicks and things like that to ease the population into it?
It's what, sorry?
Are you of the mind that the powers that know are kind of trying to influence the creatives, people that are, create media and fiction, to create storylines of alien interaction to kind of ease people into it?
Well, I think that's been going on for a long time. Well, it's really in what we know of since 1947 with Roswell. However, I think more people are aware of it than we would even imagine. First of all, indigenous communities, like going way back, have always believed in the sky people. So that's one. But I do think that I'm of the opinion that there are certain communities on the planet that already know that are not even the government. But, you know, or governments, more than one. So I think that the people who control the media and information, you know, throughout the internet kind of keeps that at a minimum so they can, you know, spin the story. So I do think that there's a slow disclosure. I think it's more about control and what they would like us to believe about, you know, alien life forms rather than...
Well, do you think that thing is positive or negative?
The spin?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's dangerous.
By which I mean, do you think they want us to be afraid of aliens, or do you think they're trying to get us used to the idea?
I think both.
Huh, yeah.
So when they try to get us used to the idea, and then they're here, of course, now we're fearful, you know.
Well.
And I don't know. I think that there's a large population of very religious people who would kind of go off the deep end.
But not nearly as many as there used to be.
I agree. I think that there's, because we have more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's mentioned in the chat, you know, Hollywood, Broadway, musicals, you know, all, you know, with that inclination. So, I mean, lots of religious people have seen spaceships on movies.
True.
I mean,
but they've been able to laugh it off as fiction. You know, you have the proverbial flying saucer landing in the White House lawn. That's going to be harder to refute. Although, you know, AI can do anything these days. But
that's the other thing.
You know, I don't really think that. I think there might be some, you know, pushes here and there. I don't think that all of it is orchestrated. You know, any media that shows alien interaction of any kind. I think if anything, they would prefer, because I think ultimately, you know, you kind of have to know that you can't keep something hidden forever. And I think the goal would be, just as a practical level, you know, not altruistic at all, but the goal would be to not have everybody freak out when it happens. I think that if they were going to push in any direction, I think they would want us to be more accepting of it. And I do think it, you know, I don't think it's going to be a threat if and when it becomes known. Although, unlike many, you know, I do not think it is impossible for a violent species to have space travel. And a lot of people are of the opinion that if a species gets sufficiently evolved enough, that they will evolve morally as well. But, you know, I think that infinite diversity is infinite possibility. In an infinite universe, you can have any kind of combination. And I think there's got to be some Borg species out there, you know. So.
Look, I think the more that we uncover archaeologically, and, you know, it's irrefutable that there's indications of ancient civilizations that had interaction with sky people, and that's becoming more, you know, more common in commonly known in a lot of circles. I think no matter how much the governments or other folks have tried to suppress it, it's no longer suppressible in so many ways. So I think that there is in my opinion, a basic law of the universe that has to do with non-interference. Now, there have been, I think it was a footage that was released of some UAPs interfering with nuclear testing. And I think that's where they, when, you know, we cross a line, I think, because I think that affects them. because I'm of the mind that some of them live here on the planet. So you know, we start using too much nuclear stuff and we're really at a danger. They're really protecting themselves, not just humanity.
Well, you mean protecting themselves outside of Earth?
No, I think some of them live under Earth.
Ah, okay.
So that's, you know, underwater.
I gotcha.
Under mountains. And so if we're, you know, any kind of a, you know, nuclear damage affects them.
Oh, true.
But I do think there is that law of non-interference. And they can't really interfere with decisions that we make for ourselves.
You know? Yeah, true.
And we're basically a very violent species. There's always a war somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah, we are, but nature's also. I mean, Earth is a very violent place. Humans are battling each other, warring with each other. You know, my cat is doing, you know, horrible things to the rodent population of our area. But I think about the most violent, most brutal aspects of humanity are the most natural aspects of us. It's the most, you know, primal. And I do think you see war and violence in nature. I think it balances itself out as a matter of course, but I think that we are also gifted with an intelligence that means we should not be that way, that we should not fall to those, you know, baser instincts of, you know, tribalism and such. And just to clarify also what I said earlier, I put it in chat as well, but if there is alien life here, I don't think it's violent. Like you, if anything was going to be violent, it would have happened already.
Yeah.
I was just saying I don't think it's impossible for a, you know, violent species, what we would consider warlike, to exist interstellarly. But
well, it would be. It's an interesting notion that it's just the feeling I have that this could very well be. We're on a precipice of some kinds of disclosure,
yeah,
more publicly, you know, put out there. And I know we see little snippets from time to time on a news report and there's, you know, oh, you know, a UAP was reported or somebody's live out there and a little thing flies behind them. Yeah, you know, I think that those are intentionally allowed to be put out there through the media so that we start thinking that way.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's leading up to a moment.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's, you know, some pushes perhaps. Again, I am of the mind that I love discussing what's possible, but just because I think something is possible doesn't mean I think it's true. A little disclaimer out there. I can be a bit of a skeptic myself, but I like to be open to things. I love the ideas of, you know, what-if situations. But gun to my head, if I think that the powers that be are pushing us, I think, yeah, exactly. They're pushing us to be ready to accept it because, you know, governments want stability. They can't keep a secret forever. And stability is good for business, good for economics, good for trade, good for their power.
Well, provided they don't try to convince everybody that we're at war with some space people.
Well, yeah, hypothetically, if they're already in contact and in basic communication with some of these space people, or at least know of them, they know that war would be pointless.
Well, you'd think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, we're not necessarily talking that they're all intelligent people.
Yeah, so, that's true. I mean, one hopes, you know, I always like to think that it's the, you know, the smartest people in the room that rise to the secret, you know, echelons, but that's just Hollywood media for you.
Well, like the good guy always comes out on the top.
Yeah, maybe not the good guy, but at least the, you know, intelligent, pragmatic, you know, guy. I don't think that you have to be morally good to not want to push war, you know, on aliens because you know that it would be a losing battle. So, you know, what can we do to, you know, keep the status quo as much as we can, I think would be the outlook.
Well, we will, time will tell. It's a question.
Yeah, true enough.
Certainly just a question. You know, Dr. Mike said something earlier in the chat. What if the universe is conscious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh,
and
that's a really good question.
That is. That also might answer the idea of, you know, how could intelligent life find us out here on this speck? You know, one little speck amongst billions or trillions of specks. if there is a consciousness to the universe, maybe we're tethered to it. Maybe our consciousness, our awareness is, you know, and our, you know, thoughts and how it changes is like, kind of, you know, plucking the spider web, you know, sending reverberations back to wherever they might be able to pick up on it. Again, a lot of speculation here, but it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, for as far as we've come in science, we barely, you know, scratched the surface of the possibilities. And, I mean, artificial intelligence, I don't think we know even a blip of what's really going on and how long they've had that kind of technology. So I think anything is possible. It's a universe conscious, and are we, as you say, tethered to it? You know, I lean in that direction. I do. I think Earth has a consciousness.
Yeah. You know,
the planet has a consciousness. And if it's not about just being human beings on the planet that contribute, but every species, plant, animal, rock, and everything all together has its own consciousness. And that's, you know, how nature kind of takes care of itself. It heals itself, you know, it corrects itself, it changes. But a consciousness of the universe that's pure energy. So why wouldn't we consider that a consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
A form of consciousness. But then we're back to the question of what is consciousness.
Yeah, that's hard to define too. You know, I think we can't really skip over, you know, if you were to look at, you know, you can Google it right now, anybody that's listening, but if you look up something called galactic filaments, you look at the structure of space, and I mean the universe, I mean all the strands of galaxies kind of tied together into these long filaments that stretch between different clusters of galaxies, and then you have these filaments of galaxies stretching to other clusters. And if you were to pull back even further to the absolute macro, it looks like a lot like neurons in a brain. It really does.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just have to throw that out there. We're going to be talking about consciousness on a galactic or universal scale.
Well, I think it's entirely possible. We're seeing life through a lens that's very skewed. And, you know, perception is one's own reality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have facts put in front of you. If you don't believe it, you won't see it. So we're really very small.
Mm-hmm.
For as bright as we are, we're really very small. And we're seeing and studying very thin filaments of what is possible and vast. So I think we do have to entertain that idea. A lot of people wouldn't. I guess I'm just playing the other side, Michael. Other people would say, what do you mean that the universe is conscious? What do you mean there's aliens? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just like you said, we're tiny specks. I mean, just because the universe is conscious, what does that mean? And if it is it conscious of us? You know, are you conscious of all the organisms that live within you?
Well, some days my body tells me things that I didn't think of.
True enough.
So, I think that I think consciousness is defined by something, you know, of cause and effect, action, reaction, and the ability to somehow flow with energy, whether it's in relation to something that has occurred and it's trying to correct, or it's just trying to carry on and modify by what it's now gleaned. You know, and that to me is something that has a form of consciousness. It's not thought as we know of it. I don't think consciousness thinks in English.
So, well, yeah.
It's not by a language that you and I all communicate
things
with.
Things in Rigelian. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, Dr. Mike has just said panpsychism proposes that consciousness is the fundamental aspect of the universe, present in all things to some degree. According to this view, consciousness isn't just an emergent property of complex brains, but rather a fundamental feature of reality itself. That makes sense to me. So, and again, you know, it's that complex brain rather than.
Right. You know. Makes sense to me too. I was in a doctor's waiting room years ago, and I had like a copy of Scientific American or Discover, some magazine in my hand, and I was reading through it, and it was talking about a quantum physicist talking about their ideas or what they think they found, and they said that basically the universe could not exist unless there was something to observe its existence, which always just kind of left me with a very deep thought, and I wish I could remember more details so I could expand on that more, but it always kind of stuck with me in that form.
Well, I have to go to the chat. I'm not meaning to, you know, slip you aside there, Michael, but Kevin has said, Dr. Kelly, Michael, mm-hmm. or Douglas Kelly, has said that previously that the universe is indifferent. And he's saying this conflicts with a conscious universe, question mark.
Right. And thank you for bringing that up, because I saw that earlier and I meant to touch on it as well.
Yeah.
But you go ahead. I got a thought, too.
Well, go for it, Michael.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't think that because something is conscious, that means it cares about us. You know, I don't think that because something is aware means it's on our side. I don't think it's against us either. I just think it's like, you know, we have, you know, millions, billions, I don't know the number. We have microbes and all kinds of different living organisms within our bodies that's not part of us but exists in us as an ecosystem. We're completely unaware of them. Except for you, Dr. Vicky, on some of that, but I don't necessarily think we're big enough to merit awareness on the universal consciousness scale.
Mm. Well, I mean, I might just address the indifferent. It's not that I disagree. Mm-hmm. What seems indifferent to us may not be to something or someone else. When we think something doesn't care about us, we see it as indifferent, but it can care about us, but not interfere with us. See?
Yeah.
Or it can care about us at the same time, like we have to learn our own lessons, right? And so that, and again, I want to go back to something like we're conditioned to think a certain way. And in our conditioning, it's not necessarily a universal way of being. It's, you know, you come to Earth, you know, you're raised to believe in fairy tales and tooth fairies. One day somebody says, oh, that's all a lie. So now you have to get a career and go and pay rent on the planet for the rest of your life. So, you know, we create a reality, and everything that we see through that lens is what we tend to take on and believe, unless we question it. The thing is, anything that's not agreeable to that conditioning and not agreeable to us progressing in that vein, we consider that indifferent. You know, we think about nature eating nature, and we see that as a very kind of cold, calculated, indifferent kind of experience. Well, where it may be to us, it's not to nature.
Mm.
You know, well, to nature.
It's about the...
you know, it's just the way it goes.
It's the macro versus the micro, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my cat, Luke, he is a killer of rodents. Not a fun time for the rats, but it is part of the cycle of existence. You know, without that happening, there are any slew of species that could not exist, that would not live. You would not see the fluffy little kittens. You know, it just, that's part of life.
Or you'd be overrun by rats.
Yeah, that too.
You see, I mean, there's that balance on the earth, right? There, nature, and again, what I see is the consciousness of Earth, has a way to balance herself out. I think when we started hoarding, you know, and, you know, corralling our herds because we were lazy and didn't want to go hunt. But we found also a way to earn money by hoarding.
Well, come on. Work smarter, not harder, Dr. Vicky.
But, you know, and we started having taking more than was required. We're the ones who are out of balance. Because there's no other animal in nature that does that.
Well, there's no other animal that can. You know,
there's animals that put away food for the winter, but in the spring, they run out of food and they know to go carry on again.
Right. But again, my point being is that I think the balance that we see within nature, I think it's hard earned. I don't think it started out that way. I think it is a result of a, natural world where everything's just trying to live, trying to survive, and the balance is the natural conclusion. Everything's going to eke out a yin and yang, a balance between different forces. It's like physics.
Yeah, I mean, again, what we see as an indifference or without regard for our feelings may not be the case at all. That's all I'm saying. Consciousness operates in a manner that some of us can't grasp because we're emotional. That's my point is, and the older I get, the more I lean in that direction. I remember how, I had these four African geese, two of which I had had for 14, 15 years. I woke up one morning and they were all wiped out. Coyotes came through.
Mm.
And, I'm devastated for a minute. But that's nature,
mm-hmm.
You see. And when I, pull myself together, I can't be mad at coyotes. See? And yet I had done everything I had always done in making sure that their birds were in lockdown.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Are you hoarding them animals again so that nature can't feed on it?
That's
selfish.
It's nature's just trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't care about my feelings.
Just like the different viruses, germs, and organisms that make us sick. Those are little things trying to survive. It's all,
It goes on. That's the cycle of life. But when you study metaphysics and you start, poking at your mind about what is possible and how is that possible, and we entertain other kinds of thoughts, like, is the universe conscious? Like I love that notion. To me, I think is it an entity like we know of as a soul? See, that might be a stretch for me, but what do I know?
Any Futurama fans out there in pop culture will know that it's God is actually a giant AI that is the universal consciousness. So
we're in the Matrix.
Yeah, kind of. Just a giant computer of the universe that is what's in that movie anyway. But the show, but there's so many different avenues this goes down. And the what if.
I know, because planets are being created every day. Mm-hmm. Planets are dying every day.
Mm-hmm.
So is that, what kind of effort is that in its energy? And if we take an absolute pragmatic look down, that vein, well, we say that's nature, but then, what is nature? And then, and the questions go on and on and on.
Well, nature is kind of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, and so,
I mean,
I'm totally open-minded. And
again,
the sooner those boys beam down, the happier.
speaking of that, I'm kind of the mind that everything that humanity does is itself a part of nature. It's our version of the beehive. Not my original thought. It's been out there a lot. But, everything we do, we build houses, we have farms, we do all this. It's our natural instinct. And I think that instinct has been built up over the last several millennia of agriculture and civilization, so to speak. But, we are animals. We're very smart, but we're still animals. We're driven by instinct, have a home, have a shelter, family, tribes. It's all very instinctual programming, kind of like an AI.
Cellular memory. you know, and
well, that's a very real thing too, you know. They've shown that all of the environmental information, let alone anything else that is in a person, is transmitted to the next generation on procreation through, was it like, it used to be what they thought was like junk DNA, but turns out it has a lot more of a purpose.
Sure. Well, I think I've mentioned this in previous shows. Science can now verify 14 generations of epigenetic memory. You know, so memory that we have passed down for 14 generations. And that can even be emotional memory, not just, you know, how does a baby know how to suck? You know, how do we know to cry? How do we know, aside from those things, that's built into our DNA, as you say, there's other behaviors that are passed down also.
You know, somebody pointed out that every civilization on Earth has created swords, alcohol, and fried things, although I think they just mean like bread and things like that, which I think is kind of funny if you think about it. But, you know, there are the commonalities amongst every civilization that you can see, you know. I think that is kind of the ingrained instincts, and I do think it changes based on that, you know, would you call it epigenetic?
Yeah, epigenetics.
And, you know, I think that, you know, you take a random group of people, you kind of remove them from our society and plop them on a deserted island, I think they would, you know, form rudimentary tribal structures, you know, hierarchical societies, because that is our way. And I think that can be changed over time. I think we're growing and advancing in awareness. I think we are going to change our own development, you know, through intent. But a lot of complexity to this discussion, and I always like to just keep your mind open.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, keeping an open mind. You know, certainly a grounded perspective, because we still get through a day, you know, and we have to, you know, be sensible. But I think that there's way more possibilities coming very soon in the future that we hadn't thought about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, look, I know I'm reminding you, Michael, but I come from a day of, you know, haul a pail of water and bring in coal for the stove. So I mean, it's a long way. Speaking of
back before indoor plumbing and electricity, I know.
We're going to get to cards in a moment here. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
That's
like
a good one.
You know, throw a few thoughts around random from time to time. But Wendy's grandmother, name is Connie, and she is 94 today. So we are sending out happy birthday wishes to Connie. And Wendy has asked if we would pick a card for her. So she's on the top of my list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And fun fact, my grandmother is also named Connie. It's a good name.
Oh.
But all right, so I think are we ready?
Well, I'm ready.
All right, I'm ready.
Here.
All right, well, first card of the evening, and card for Connie. Happy birthday to you! Sending lots of good energy. And I have number 18. It's in the existential suit, evolution. All right. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that exist in situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, I picked two cards for you, Connie, and the first one is the Emperor, and then the Two of Hearts. Now, I think somebody said it in the chat too, but what you've seen in your lifetime, you also come from a time of no running water and electricity and all those other things, Connie. So I can only imagine over nearly 100 years, whew, what that must be like. You know, it's like walking into a whole new reality on some days. Extraordinary.
Going from, simple motor cars to space travel.
I know. But the Emperor is about you know, in this case, one's own power. It's like having a sense of or understanding what one's own power is, or even the lack thereof. But you being your own source, your own energy. But with the Two of Hearts there, that's about relationships. And it could be you're remembering someone that a great love of your life. So it could be, again, that with the Emperor, it could be in that regard, in a memory. Or it is that you're, you know, looking around at the people you have in your life now and feeling that love in those partnerships and relationships. And you know, it's like being very proud of yourself for a moment and feeling good about that and the evolution of that. You know, look, I don't know what it is to be 94. I can, some days my body feels that way, but my brain does not know. So,
I don't think anybody does. I don't think even a 94-year-old necessarily feels 94. Well maybe.
We can only guess. Mm-hmm. But for you, Connie, I think there's also in that evolution where you kind of start returning to the beginning, remembering life. I mean, I've done that a few times in the last number of years, but, you know, it's like looking at your life like a movie. It's one long movie, and then living every day to the fullest, you know, because time has a whole different expression as we get older. And and no one would know that better than you, Connie. So it's taking a breath, you know, reflecting on life for a moment, looking around and saying, you know, it's a good day. Happy birthday.
I love it. All right. And real quick, I'm going to pull a card for Wendy, too, just to pair with her grandma here. Just a shout out to anybody that, you know, is listening in the archives. Wendy is also our card keeper, so she tracks patterns and things in that. So always a thank you for that. And for you tonight, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship. And communication is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Four of Hearts. So that Four of Cups, Wendy. You got some good news coming. Unexpected news. Communication, opportunity, good news, and I don't know, I'm going to say a little hint of travel. And it doesn't have to mean a long distance, it could be a short distance. But I want to say joyful. So you're going to be really happy about this news. And you know, Michael, I'm going to go way out in a limb. Uh-oh. And say, I see wings. And when I see little wings, that could be news of a baby coming. Yeah. So file that, Wendy. There we go.
All right.
Okay. I think we have Jerry in there next.
I do. And Dr. Jerry, I think you're going to like this card. For you, I pulled wild card number 8, freedom. I know.
A little twist there for Jerry. Huh?
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is in, as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. Good card. And, you know, I always wonder if somebody thinks that we're going to, you know, pull these on purpose, if they happen to fit particularly well. At least it does in my mind, but totally random.
It is, and we promise you that. I have my deck fanned out across me, and they're all face down. I pull a card, right as Michael is pulling his card, or right after. And in this case, for Wendy, I've got the Two of Diamonds. So that Two of Diamonds, pardon me for Jerry, I've said that. I was looking at the chat at the same time and two thoughts collided. You had this card, according to Wendy, on February 21. First match that we've had in a while, Wendy says. So freedom with the Two of Diamonds, the Two of Pentacles is a good sense of balance, a good sense of healing, restoration, and, of course, in some way there's Diamonds is usually about belongings or I think about gains in some way, but there's a balance of that. So, look, you're about to take a huge leap here, Jerry, and feeling that sense of relief and freedom. But you've got this. It's under control. Let's just say you're in management of it, which is better than using the word control. And there's the doorways, and all, a whole new life is waiting for you. Good affirmation.
I love it. All right. And we have our friend Audra next. For you, I have wild card number 6, wild card kind of night. This is entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Well, I got the 8 of clubs. So the 8 of wands in this case, you know, I always see that as fast action, things that start to move into line really quickly. So, Audra, I'm inclined to want to say to you, make sure your laundry is done, get yourself organized, you know, work clothes are ready, because you're going to go into action really fast. That's what I say. Oh, I see that Wendy just asked if you'd found a new job yet. And that, I feel like something is in the wings for you here right away, Audra. So you're not going to get much of a breath between one thing and another. Things are going to come to you really fast. Not to worry. I'm going out on a limb on that one too, but I truly believe that.
I like it. All right. All right, and I think we have Dr. Zorin next. And let's see. Number 15, belief system and knowledge system. Or knowledge base, excuse me. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
So we have judgment in support of that, Zorin. Now, belief system, knowledge base, with judgment is like making a declaration. You know, it's an announcement of some kind. And I feel like you're really comfortable in a situation to say, I've changed my mind. And, you know, I don't think that way anymore. Or I've had a lot of time to think about it and, you know, what I've been learning. And I am changing my mind about some of the views I've had. But you're really comfortable in sharing it. No, you know what I mean? You're not feeling badly or, you know, shuffling your feet or embarrassed or anything. You're quite proud of the fact that, I have been learning this, which makes me think this, and I'm open to new ideas. So I hear you having conversations with people, and it's going in a good way, and you're regarded in a really positive light. So there's something shifted there for you in a good way. Well, I think it's great.
All right. And next, and I think last card, is Dr. Kevin. And for you, I have number 33, preference over principle. I can't talk today.
All right. So, well, Michael tends to his crew that's likely, it's probably because their neighbors were knocking or something, or the neighbor's dog was going.
Okay. I think we're good. I think we're
all
good.
Right.
The ninja pirates were driven off. We're back to normal. All right, Dr. Kevin, sorry about that, but you have preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Page of clubs. It's always a communicator, right? All of the pages are communications. And clubs generally, in a word, indicate some kind of change, shift or change. Preference, principle, page of clubs. We have to know when to speak up and when not to, and not impose onto other things. It's something I certainly had to learn with my, you know, with people, but primarily my adult children, is certain things might be my preference, but it's not their preference, and knowing when to walk away. Know when to fold them, know when to hold them. How's that go? Anyway, it's so it's how you enter. Let's see, we're both going to be humming that song now. So it's knowing, kind of checking in with yourself from time to time. Kevin, we all should do that all the time. It's not to trespass, but to allow other people. So it's when do you feel or think it's a good time to speak up? And what's your delivery? And once you get that, then the rest flows really easy. So preference versus principle, that's such a big one, Michael.
It really is, and it's just a great way to give perspective on what is important, what is worth your battle.
Yeah.
But good cards.
You know, like it's my preference that all the aliens show up, but, you know, in principle, it could cause chaos.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I take it to mean my preference over everybody else's principles, but it's whatever. I mean, no coconut anything, you know. Yes, butter pecan is good ice cream. I don't want to hear any different. Thin Mints are the best little Girl Scout cookie. That's it.
Preference versus principle. It's, you know, if it is a principle, you speak up. But
what if my principle?
It doesn't mean anybody's going to listen to you.
This is true up until I'm the emperor of the world, because I think my principle is that coconut is inherently evil and nobody should consume it or use it in any product. So, you know, new law of the land.
You know, Michael, you could be dangerous in politics.
Because I wanna, you know.
Well, Florida has enough trouble.
That's true enough.
Sorry, I had to get the dig in.
True enough. Well, I make enough digs about Canada. You know, to be fair, though, I was going to make a dig about you, you know, not having electricity or indoor plumbing when you're growing up because you were Canadian. But I didn't make that dig, except for just now when I said
that.
That's
not true, though. Lots of Americans shouldn't have it either.
Oh, I know. I was just
going to dig at you. You've got to remember that there were lots of farmers that didn't get power and, you know, plumbing and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but that doesn't support my dig at you. Come on.
Well, I tell you, my dig at you has to do with, what is it, children under 14 can no longer have social media accounts, according to your governor's.
I actually don't know how I feel about that. Because I'm kind of the eternal, and I have been this way my entire life. I never like young people. I don't necessarily care what they have to say. I kid. It's like half joke, half real, but like, I probably err on the ability to access, especially for kids that might be sheltered, you know, kids growing up in dogmatic or abusive homes need to have ways to see the outside world and things like that. So I'd come down on that, but I digress.
Well, as always, it's been another interesting evening.
Oh, hasn't it,
though? Can we invite Dr. Mike to come back on?
Oh, I think we can twist his arm. I mean, whether he will listen is another story, but yeah, let's throw it out there.
You know, just any updates he might have, things of interest, maybe we can, you know, encourage Dr. Mike to come on over.
Yeah, and, you know, it'll be the same fat paycheck it's always been, so you can look forward to that.
That would be great. We would look forward to having him and joining us. And Michael and I are going to work really hard to find, you know, a really good topic for next week. Sometimes we get a little occupied with our own lives, so we kind of pull rabbits out of hats.
Well, I mean, I feel like we already have a topic for next week, and it's the evils of coconut.
There you go.
Is that just me? No, it's just me. I'm sorry. I guess, we're going to think of something better. Don't worry.
I know that a lot of people need a real good blast of good energy out there. So we're all as a, you know, individually and as a group, sending lots of positive vibes everywhere. And, you know, try to blast the rest of the planet with, you know, moonbeams of love. So when the aliens come, we'll all just have a party.
Good party, Romulan ale. It'll be fun. It'll be good times had by all. But no, it has been a good discussion. I love these what if conversations. I've always said the most interesting question to ask is one without a definitive answer. And, you know, that's what we've done. And I love it. So another great discussion. Always appreciate you, Dr. Vicky. And, you know, we're coming to that time of the evening. And any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, don't let them push you around out there, folks. You know, the world's an ever-changing place. And, you know, if people seem a little weird there, go home. If you can, go home.
Yep. I agree. And, you know, keep an open mind, enjoy life, and remember the answer to every problem is dog. So with that, I will say thank you, everybody, for joining us. As always, thank you, Dr. Vicky. Looking forward to seeing everybody next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.